how many are you are experiencing a call of God to be able to have more authority in your prayer life. There's a calling to go deeper in the authority of Jesus in regards to praying. We get a lot of prayer requests, please pray for, and so forth. But God wants to help us to be able to, in a sense, to see more results, to see His kingdom being released through our prayer of faith. And that's what we want to have a look at this morning. So Father, thank You, as we've been singing and just being very conscious of how our worship is a pleasing aroma to You, how You so enjoy us just standing together, just honoring You with our lives and just worshiping You. Thank You so much, Father, today as You invite us deeper into understanding just the connection between heart and word, the prayer of faith, and seeing Your kingdom being released here on earth as it is in heaven. And so we sit together with You, Father, in Your throne room there and just listen to You as You teach us, as You give us revelation, understanding as by Your Holy Spirit You unlock scriptures, as You just begin to remove things that may be a bit of a hindrance in our thought process, and where Your Spirit is, there's freedom. So we want to thank You through Your Son Jesus, the power, Lord Jesus, of Your incredible death and resurrection, that is, You made this possible, that we could be seated with You in the heavenly realms to communicate with one another. And we are so grateful for the, not just the knowledge of this, but the reality of this, the experience of seated with You and hearing and communicating. So today we want to bring our communities that we stay in, and we come and we bring them, Father, and we ask that today teach us a prayer of faith, to pray not only for ourselves, but for our families, for our communities, for our nation, for the nations. Teach us, Father, at this time, in Your timetable, in Your timing, on the reality of praying in the name of Your Son Jesus, and seeing that what we ask in His name is going to be done, because You will be glorified. And that's how Your kingdom is revealed. People can experience Your glory, who You really are. So we ask for You to share with us, Father, the way forwards from today onwards, as we step deeper into this time of knowing how to pray and practicing and learning how to pray in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I think we all know the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. And just those verses over there, because in the teaching over here, in Matthew chapter 6, very often you see there that Jesus is speaking about our Heavenly Father who is unseen. You see, so He's, because God is Spirit, but He is speaking about our Heavenly Father who is unseen. We want people to know and experience You as if You are really here with us. And so that the unseen becomes seeable. And that's what the prayer is all about over here. And so then Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then He carries on, give us today our daily bread. And we know, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. In Luke chapter 17, we read over there where the disciples, the people are asking Jesus, how can we recognize your kingdom? Remember, our theme is how do we as the body of Christ, how do we express, how do we release the kingdom of God where we are? Okay. And so the disciples and the people around him asked, and we read there in verse 20, once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. And he has a very clear understanding of when Jesus speaks about the kingdom of God is within. And remember in John chapter 3, when he's answering that question over there, sorry. And Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless you're born of the Spirit. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless you're born of water and the Spirit. And so here we begin to understand something about the ministry and the involvement of God's Holy Spirit within, so that we can see the kingdom and we can enter into the kingdom of God. And here Jesus starts to speak about the kingdom of God within the believer. We read over there in John chapter 14, and when Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, in John chapter 14, and he speaks about the Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and the Father is in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then we carry on in the whole reality of the fact of why the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son come and make their dwelling. So as we've looked at many times now, when we're speaking about the kingdom of God, it's a rule of God. It's a way of God. It's the way he does things, the way he thinks, the way he operates. It's his teachings, everything. It's all about that. Now we as believers, we have Christ the King by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And so first of all, as we know, you and I, carry on, if you love me, you will obey me, and I will come and make myself known to you, Jesus says. So we know that as believers, as we are yielded to the Holy Spirit, we then live under the reality of the rulership of Christ the King. Because we're walking, we're keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. That's a yieldedness. Okay. Now, how do we get that? How do we get the reality of the reign of Christ out of us to touch other people's lives? Okay, obviously, first of all, we've got to be able to know his authority in us, his rule in us as we yield it to him. Because that's part of what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, let me just quickly read in John, in 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to read then verse 3. And this is about being ministers of the new covenant. And he carries on and he says over here, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on the tablet of stone, but on the tablet of human hearts. So here we see, first of all, in the ministry of the apostles over here, we see that somehow the reality of Christ the King was expressed and broke into the hearts of mankind and wrote by the Spirit life. The kingdom of God, because God is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the reality of Jesus was taken from the apostles and released into people's lives so that they experienced the reality of the kingdom. See, by the Holy Spirit. Again, we come to the Holy Spirit's ministry. In Acts chapter 10, let me quickly read Acts chapter 10. And this is when Peter is speaking about the baptism of Jesus. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, we read over there, he's now speaking there in Cornelius' house. And he says, you know the message God sent, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Okay, we get back to the kingdom of God. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God with him is exactly the same as the kingdom of God is within us. Jesus showing us as a man that in order to perform the miracles, in order to express and make the kingdom of God a reality amongst people, he needed to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. He needed to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Because it was the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled Jesus to be able to express and make the kingdom of God a reality. And that is why it's so important, if we look at in Acts chapter 2 there, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, when they asked him about the kingdom of God, they asked him these questions, and he said, you must wait until you receive a power from on high, from God the Father, so that you'll be able to be my witnesses and to be able to now go out and do what I've called you to do. We need to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Okay. And if you're battling in that area because of what the difference between when you get born again and you receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus always had the Holy Spirit within him. But at his baptism, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a different thing to be able to do the ministry that God had set him and called him to do. So you and I still need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Even though we've got the Spirit of God within him, there's a different function. It's called the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what God has called us to do, to make his kingdom a reality. Okay, but that's not where we're going to this morning, just because some might need to just go and spend time in the scriptures and ask God to teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that it becomes a rhema, it becomes real, and so you can then receive it. In Matthew chapter 12 and then verse 28, we see also over there where the ministry of Jesus. Matthew 12 and verse 28. This is when now the people were accusing him from being possessed by Satan. And they were saying, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember, if we go back to Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? The Spirit of might, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of wisdom, of understanding, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. As we looked at the seven functions of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Lordship of Jesus. And as you and I are anointed by the Holy Spirit, the reality of Christ as Lord, as King, becomes a reality through our lives. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords is all part of what God wants to help us to be able to release more and more in our day-to-day lives. Okay, so now, the text this morning is Galatians chapter 5. Okay, that's where we want to spend time. And this is where I really believe that our Heavenly Father wants us to be established in more than what we have been. This is the invitation, because here is a key of expressing the kingdom of God. Paul writes here to the Galatians, and remember now there's just the conflict between the law, going back into the law and moving out of the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul is writing to encourage them to stay firm in their faith in Jesus Christ. Don't add anything else. It's that what Christ has done. So it's not, is it for freedom that Christ has set us free? Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. Speaking about believers, Yare. That pure, simple faith in Jesus Christ. It's not what we say, it's what we believe that is so vital over here. Do we believe that Jesus, in his death and resurrection, do we believe that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus? Do we believe that? See, when we say put on the new self, that's what we're doing. We believe that's a faith reality. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. If we believe that, we will not keep on going back to the junk of our past and experiences and all the stuff that we drag along. If we believe that we are a new creation, we will renew our minds to that truth, and we will experience the reality of not being alienated from the finished work of Jesus in our lives. We will experience the law of the Spirit of life operating profoundly within us, bringing about the transformation, bringing about the incredible growth, the life, and all the reality of what Christ has done. It becomes our experience. Do we believe? Do we believe? See, we've got to stand firm. I don't know about you. You wake up and throughout the day, how occupied is our mind with all the negative stuff that shows we do not believe that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus? That's just the evidence. Because we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, the prayer of faith doesn't pray trying to, oh, the problems. The prayer of faith prays with the solutions. Because Christ is the answer He is the solution for all of man's problems. See, do we believe? Our prayers, God is inviting us to be able to start to go deeper in the authority of Christ in praying, so that we see the evidence of the reign of Christ, of the death and the resurrection, of the power of His blood, the power of His sacrifice, the reality of His atonement and the reconciliation of all things, as we're learning how to pray in His name, because we believe correctly. Our hearts and our minds and the Word of God are one. And so when we pray, we start to see the evidence of King Jesus in the situation. If we're honest with ourselves, I can only speak for myself, maybe you don't have this problem, but a lot of my prayers is a prayer worried about something, and not a prayer of faith. A lot of the prayers is a prayer about worrying about how we're going to live, or worried about this, or worried about that, and there's a problem, or that problem, I'm facing that problem, what do I do? Yes. And they'll be praying from that place. But there's no faith over there. The prayer of faith is totally different, because I might have a problem, but this is the difference. I know I've got an answer. Because the prayer of faith, the Bible says, bring all my requests to God. So the prayer of faith, I'm praying knowing that I've got an answer to that problem. So when I go to the throne room of God and I present my case towards God, I know, the prayer of faith knows, I'm going to get an answer. I'm not doubting whether God's going to hear me or not. I'm not doubting whether God's going to come through or not. I know God's going to come through. See, that the prayer of faith, because I believe in my heart that God answers prayer. And so, it's going to be an answer that's coming through. Otherwise, you're going to be standing there and praying and praying and praying and praying, and you never see the answer, you never see the breakthrough, because there's no faith. It's a prayer from a place of anxiety and worrying and unbelief. Okay, so it's helping us to be able to be a kingdom of priests, to rule and to reign here on earth. There's redeemed people of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, from all nations. He's helping us to be able to go, to walk in the authority of Jesus, to express the kingdom of God. But when we're going into a situation and we do not believe that Christ is the answer, we will pray for that person with the right words. Nothing happens, because we don't believe. We've got doubt with that situation. No, I don't think God's going to come through inside. You see, unbelief. Unbelief. So the right words is not what God's looking for. It's that heart that's full of faith. And you can say, and you can stumble, and you can say the messed up words and all that there. Heart, faith. God hears. The Spirit of God breakthrough. See? And this is what we're going to look at now. And so Paul carries on, and he says over here, Christ will be of no value to you at all. And again, and this is part of the discipling, as you disciple your friends and your neighbors and the people that God is busy bringing into your life. In the process of discipling, help them to be rooted in Jesus. Help them to be able to get rid of all the add-on stuff. If I go to church this Christmas, December, Easter, etc., then I'm going to please God. Help them to get rid of all that stuff. Okay, all those add-ons, that's got no value at all in the kingdom. That's just works. Okay. Help them to simply receive and believe in Christ Jesus, what He has done. I'm a new creation in Jesus, and now I'm going to start living a life. I've been raised with Him. Holy Spirit's going to guide me, and I'm going to follow the ways of God. I'm going to read, I'm going to let Him speak to me, and I'm going to obey Him because of a love for Him. Simple. Very simple. Not complicated at all. Just a little simple walk with God. His kingdom will be expressed through you and I. And then he carries on and he says over there, but by faith we eagerly await the Spirit. By faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And this, guys, is what God wants to just really help us to grasp today. In all of this, Paul sums it up and he says, for in Christ Jesus, and that's crucial because when we're born again, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. So the only thing that counts for you and I is our faith that is being expressed through love. Faith and love. Okay, so let's have a look at that. We've often gone through the scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. Now keep in the back of your mind, the only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. And this is the faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. It's a gift of God has given to you and I as He shares with us and the Holy Spirit works within our lives and that word becomes so alive and real. This is the faith we're talking about. The reality of Jesus, He is real. It's not just a story out there. There's a relationship. This is the faith we're talking about. Now this faith must be expressed, huh? Through love. So love is the foundation. Love is in the heart. Now what I believe is flowing out of this love that's in me. And now what I believe is now being expressed. Faith is a dynamic, powerful working of faith. The prayer of faith, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful. Okay. So here we look at this. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul prays his prayer. And notice the connection between love, faith, power. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit, again, the Holy Spirit's ministry in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Just on that there, Many believers battle to know the reality. They believe. We were just sharing on Wednesday evening. There's just one of the questions because intellectually, real scholar of the Bible, but Christ dwelling in his heart is not a reality. Believes. But Christ dwelling, Christ abiding. If I live in your house, you know I'm there. If you live in my house, you know, I know you're there. Christ living in my house, I know He's there. He speaks. I speak. We discuss. We have coffee together. We eat together. reality. And so, yeah, it's a powerful prayer because it's by the Holy Spirit where believers that believe, they believe, but then they aren't aware, they don't know the Christ living in the home, reality. They don't know that it's by the Holy Spirit, because it's by the Holy Spirit we say, Abba Father. It's the Holy Spirit that testifies to our spirit, Abba Father, the spirit of sonship. Okay. So, guys, we have to disciple. We've got a community very much in religion. Religion prevents and blocks, and there's a blockage, unbelief that the Holy Spirit is active and alive. They have not yet learned the reality of the ministry of God's Spirit within. We've got to help them. We've got to minister, we've got to teach them about the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is all about being equipped so that there's a harvest out there for you and I. And then so Paul carries on and he says, and I pray that being rooted and established in love. Now look where the foundation of love comes through here. And I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge. This is again the reality of what he's speaking about. That you may be full to the full measure of God. And that's what's happening now. If we take stock of what's happening in our lives, we are growing more and more into the fullness of Christ Jesus. So that you'll probably be aware that within you there's a growth of this love of God. But also, the Word of God, the reality of faith is becoming real more and more. So when we sing this song concerning this, say, the name of Jesus, it's not just words, but there's a heart, there's a mind, there's a word, there's a whole connection that when we sing and we proclaim His name, you can experience the power of the blood of Christ, cleansing power of Jesus over people's lives in our communities. You can experience and you can see the powerful chains that have kept people in bondage being broken. It's not just words, it's real to me. See, that's that song, that was a powerful prayer that we were praying as we were singing that name, in the name of Jesus. Not just words. You can know the reality of the incredible, powerful work of the Holy Spirit, the people in depression. If you believe with your heart as we proclaim the name of Jesus, because everything, the good news of God is in His Son Jesus. When we're proclaiming the name of Jesus, the good news is being made known by the Holy Spirit, by the angelic realm, by us as the body of Christ, all over the towns, wherever we may be, being made known. We must move out of the natural and begin to understand the spiritual realities around us, because we are spirit beings. We live in the kingdom of God. We've got to start to get free from just being focused and ground bound and starting to realize, but when we pray, when we speak, when we sing, there's far more that's taking place, but there must be faith and love. See, it is what we believe. Now, as we believe, wow, the power of your blood, when we sing, we're singing from a heart of love for the unsaved. We sing Him because there's love in our hearts. So when we're praying for the unsaved, we're praying because there's a deep love in our heart. So now with this love in our heart, and we're praying because we believe in the power of the blood of Jesus, the kingdom of God is being expressed and released. The only thing that counts is faith being expressed through love. And this is what the Holy Spirit, He's helping us to be established in this truth. So the next time we get the prayer requests on the phones for, say, a sick or whatever the case may be, stop for a moment, because it's very easy for us to, yes, we will pray, and Lord, please heal that. But is there love in the heart, and is there faith to believe God's going to heal that person? See, it's a difference. Big difference. There's the words, the ritual, doing this so that my conscience is clear, or there is the other way that God is teaching us, where there is, let me stop. I don't have love in my heart yet for this person. They deserve to get sick. Lord, I need you to help me here now, because I don't have love. They deserve. The action, what they do in their lives, they deserve that kind of stuff, you know? Is that only me, or is it? Okay. Let I repent. Let me confess my sin before one another so I can be healed. But we say, stop for a moment, and Lord, sorry, but in my heart, I'm just full of flesh. But what do I believe? I'm a new creation in Jesus. And the moment I renew my mind that I'm a fact, I'm a new creation in Jesus. All of a sudden, the law of the Spirit of life is operating. And all of a sudden, there's a love that starts to flow. Holy Spirit love. And I partake in His divine nature. So now my love is so connecting with God's love. Now there's love in my heart. But Lord, I don't believe that you're able to heal that person. I need you to give me truth. Because faith comes from hearing. I don't want to pray just from love. I want to pray faith with faith being expressed through this love in my heart now. And now I spend time in the Word of God. Teach me, Holy Spirit. I need to be united. My heart must be one with that Word. Otherwise it's just going to be, I'm going to just say the right things. Now you go and you allow the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation that, because you may believe it's not God's will for that person to be healed. You may believe, no, whatever it may be. So there's a truth in our minds that needs to be replaced with God's truth of His Word in our hearts and our minds. Now you're praying from a place of love and with a faith. Now in the name of Jesus, whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, I will do it so that my Father will be glorified. The kingdom of God will be revealed. That's how the kingdom of God is made known, wherever we may be. In the workplace, in the schools, in our communities, in our families. A heart of love. And now we believe. A heart of faith. And then the kingdom of God is made known. So that's why Paul concludes, and he says over there, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, and that's the journey of our growth. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is, not maybe, that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. So guys, pause for a moment in prayer activity and just think, as I'm praying for my government, what's in my heart? God's love for the people of our nation. Spend time. Appropriate the fact of being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Is there an answer for South Africa? No, I don't think so. Oh, I know so, because I know. So now we pray with a heart full of love, with the solution, what God has said. See, faith comes from hearing the word of God. That's God's solution. That's the promise. That's what he wants to manifest by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now we can pray because our hearts are full of love. We've heard the Holy Spirit speak us to us what God is, what's on his heart, and now we can release that. We can pray that. God's kingdom comes, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have to say to ourselves today that our town will never be the same again after today. Because we're not going to live only in the natural. We're going to start operating in the spiritual like we've never operated before. We're going to look at the situations and now, but we've got a belief and our heart is connected to the power of what Christ has done. When God spoke to me years back, when our country was going through a difficult time in the Zuma days, still going through a difficult time. But when I asked and I was praying, and when he spoke to me and he just showed me the centrality of the cross, and he said, my answer for South Africa is the centrality of the cross of my son Jesus Christ, what he has done in his death and resurrection. That's God's answer. So when I pray for South Africa, I'm praying with the answer. And that's why you will find wherever I go, everything is about helping people to come to know and experience the reality, the real Jesus, and not the religious Jesus, and experience the freedom and begin to know what it is to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Get to know the law of the Spirit of life and see how God is really the answer to life. Begin to learn how to receive, how to live by faith, how to look at situations that's impossible for mankind and to go forward because you've got an answer. God has given the answer to your problem and you walk by faith. So when Paul writes in Romans 1 verse 17, the righteous will live by faith. This is what he's talking about. That your heart and the word are one. And you have love in your heart. Amen. So we're going to celebrate our Lord Jesus because he's the answer. So Father, thank you this morning as you share with us the facts, your facts, your truth concerning your son Jesus. Thank you that you've poured your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for your fruit is love. And today, you're going to show us and bring to our attention the moments when the flesh seems to be not wanting to agree with you. But at that moment, we did not yield to that because the power of sin is broken and we yield to righteousness. So Lord Jesus, as we sit with you and we have the communion, it's such an incredible joy to know that there's hope now for our communities that we stay in because of what you have done. And you were teaching us how to pray for family. You're teaching us how to pray in your name because of love and faith. Lord, I'm asking particularly for just hearing a story earlier on where there's been things taking place in a marriage where spouses got so much hurt and pain that they cannot pray for one another. They cannot. Because it's not from a place of love. And we ask, give us a breakthrough there to be able to share how to come out of that and to enter into and partake in your divine nature. How to be free without going for years of counseling, how to get free so powerfully, because of just stepping into and renewing and accepting and believing what it is to be a new creation and allowing the Spirit of life to operate within. And we thank you. Jesus, I just see you wanting just to show us that nothing is impossible. Nothing's impossible for us who believe. And I want to thank you. The increase of your authority. We're stepping into the increase of who you are as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're beginning to be established in that truth. Thank you for that. And so we're going to celebrate your blood that brought us freedom. We're going to celebrate your body that took upon our sin so that we can be set free from sin and the consequences of sin. Thank you, Jesus, that we're going to be celebrating your death as we eat together. The old man is gone. The power of sin is broken. And in your resurrection, seated with you right now in the heavenly realms, that we can serve our Father, that we can show the world what our Father's like, and that he can be glorified. So together with you, Jesus, and with all the cloud of witnesses, we say, Father, your kingdom come. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That you will be made known through your Son and in your Son, but also through us as your family, as your sons and daughters. Amen. Amen.